What a wonderful song for us as we start this service. This is what our passage talks about this morning. If you are a guest here, my name is Norm Dirksen. I am one of the pastors here, though I forgot my badge. And if you are visiting, I'd love to meet you afterwards. But again, it's a strike two. My wife and I are leaving immediately following the service. I have to catch a flight for Vancouver. I'm going to the CBWC New Workers Orientation, which begins at about 4 o'clock in Vancouver at Kerry Hall. So I'd love to meet you. Please come back and make sure you come up and introduce yourself. We are glad you are here. But just so you know, I'm not making a run for it. I mean, I guess I am, but I have to catch a flight. I'm not trying to avoid you. I actually do want to invite you to stand this morning as we read God's Word, as I read God's Word. And the reason is I want to engage your heart, not just your body. I'm not just trying to ask you to stand before the sermon so that you'll endure a little bit longer sermon, although that's a good strategy. I want to engage your heart. Would you let your heart be drawn into this? In this very moment, we are standing before God. We are standing before God with open hearts to hear and receive what God would say to us. It's as if we are saying together, God, as you speak, I will listen. I stand before you. God, as you reveal who you are from your word, I will worship. God, as you direct us from your truth, we, your people, stand before you and we will serve you with all of our hearts, souls, and minds. So as you stand, as we stand before God, hear the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm beginning at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the ministry, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, we have come this morning with open hearts, and even as we stood, as our hearts were focused in this call to hear and listen. Father, I am grateful that you do this work. We are happy to be together with your people, those we love and know, and those we can share faith even as newcomers. We have come anticipating that you will speak. We know that your word speaks. Would you speak to us this morning? The life-giving message of hope and renewal and transformation. Father, open our eyes to see it. Open our ears to hear it. Let your spirit speak to our hearts. Give us joy in your presence this morning, and love and strength as we walk with you throughout this week. Father, hear our prayer as your people. Speak to us, for your servants are listening. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord. We pray. Amen. Well, as God speaks to us this morning, it really is a challenge that comes on the heels of last Sunday. Do you remember the sermon last Sunday? Last Sunday, we talked about how God is awakening us as individuals by his grace. He is stirring our hearts. And as a church, remember the grace of God. It is a grace that saves us. It is a grace that transforms us. He doesn't just leave us in our sin. He actually is transforming us as we walk with God. And it is a grace by which we serve. Remember the Apostle Paul? I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace to me was not without effect. It was not empty. It was not vain. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God working in me. So what does that look like for us as a church? What is the ministry of First Baptist Church? Over the summer and into the fall, we are going to pray that God gives us a vision that we can all be a part of. What is that vision? If you are in Christ, you are changed. These few verses will give us two big pictures of what God's vision is for his church and specifically for First Baptist Church. The first one is that we will minister with a transformed life. That is critical. We can do everything we want as a church, but if my life and your life is not actually transformed, it is not the ministry of God. That's what our verses will tell us. We minister, first of all, with a transformed life. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, that word just means look, notice, look, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us what? Read it with your own eyes. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is Paul doing here? He's connecting our ministry with what has actually happened in our lives. That we minister with our transformed lives. If you are in Christ, verse 17 says, you are a new creation. Now, there are many who would tell us, you know what, if you're a Christian, we are exactly the same as a non-Christian. We are just forgiven. But that is not true according to this verse, is it? You are not just forgiven. You are changed. We are a new creation. Look at verse 17 if you don't believe it. The old has passed away. The new has come. I said it a few weeks ago. We are under new management. That if Jesus is Lord, we are no longer in charge of our lives. We are changed. Look at the certainty of those words. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not you might. Well, I know that I ought to be a new creation. I've been going to church for 20 years, but I feel like it's still exactly the same. Oh, we still struggle. All you have to do is live in my house for about a half hour, oh, probably even 15 minutes, and you would know that what is true. But I am not the same, and neither are you if you are in Christ. You are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Galatians 5 says, since we live by the Spirit, we have life in the Spirit, let us now walk by the Spirit, not in the oldness of the flesh. So we must be transformed. And if we are transformed, our ministry is from a transformed life. Now, Paul is not just connecting it to this one verse 17. If we had time, we would go through it in very close detail. We're just going to do a 30,000-foot flyover. Just turn over one page to chapter 2 in 2 Corinthians. This is the whole flow of the passage. This is the context. If we are going to understand chapter 5 right, we have to understand where it's coming from. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. And I'm only going to touch down at a few places. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And you're saying to me, but Pastor, I don't feel very triumphant. I don't feel like he's always leading me in triumphal succession. If you had been with me this week, you would know how much I struggle. And maybe you are like the old Youth for Christ. They would say, if we put a video camera, duct taped it to your head, and we followed you around for a week, you would probably have to leave town. If we all saw what you were really like. And you say, but it doesn't seem like he leads me in triumphant procession. Look at the rest of the verse. And through us he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him in every place. What is this triumphal procession? Somehow it is a parade. Somehow it is a march that God's people are on display for the world. That God's people are transformed. That God is through us, changing us and saying to the world, look, this is the knowledge of God. This is what is being put on display. This is what God does in a broken life. Verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved from among those who are perishing. To one, the fragrance of death to death, the other, the fragrance from life to life. And here is the true question, isn't it? Who is sufficient for these things? And in your heart, if you are honest like I am, I'm not. But he answers that question down in chapter 3, verse 5. Now we are not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. You see what he's saying? Immediately when he says it's God who is working in us, he immediately says God gives us this ministry. You see what the context is? When you are struggling with sin, when you are struggling with self-destructive patterns in your life, and God speaks a message of hope into your soul, I love you as you are. I take you and I clean you up. You are on display to the world to say this is what God can do in the soul of a broken man and a broken woman. And he's not finished with you yet. Because that's verse 18 of chapter 3. Look at it. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. See, it's not just the apostles. It's not just the super Christians. It's not just the pastors with name tags and those who don't have them. We are all being transformed into the image of God. It's the Spirit who is convicting you of sin and convincing you of truth. It is the very work of God in us that is transforming us from one degree of glory to another. Look at verse 18. It's this continual process. It's not just you come to the front, fall at the altar, and now you're completely transformed. No, this is a transformation that is going on for the rest of your life. And look how chapter 4, verse 1 starts. Those numbers weren't there, by the way. It's the very next phrase, therefore having this ministry. Do you see it? Is it beginning to come across the screen of your mind? Transformation and ministry. Transformation from glory to glory with ever increasing glory to be like Christ, and a ministry of mercy in chapter 4, verse 1. And then we go on, and if only we had time, chapter 4 talks about the power of God that is displayed in us. Look at verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, But Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Why? Why is the glory of God and the knowledge of who He is transforming me and transforming you? To show what the power of God does in our lives. We're a fragrance. We're put on display. We are an object lesson of a ministry of mercy. Those who love much have been forgiven much. You see what's happening here? And he goes on, we could say even more. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. It doesn't mean that you have a life without affliction. But somehow you bear up under that affliction. Why? Because it's the power of God that is obvious in you and in me. People look at you and you struggle with cancer. Christians still struggle. We are afflicted in every way, but how do we give an evidence of the reality of Christ in us? We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed. That means we don't always know every answer to every question. But we're not driven to despair. And we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest, may be evidenced, may be seen, may be shown, may be smelt, the fragrance of Christ. This is going to be a long sermon. We haven't even got to our passage. I'm kidding. Do you see what this is? Do you see how this is not just verse 17 of chapter 5? The whole context is moving us towards this. As we pray over the summer, as we ask God, would you give us a vision for First Baptist Church? It is not just what will we do to fill the calendar. It's who will we be? God, don't just remove everything that is an affliction, but let us not be in despair. Be on display in my life, Jesus. That is our vision. And we know that because look at verse 17 and 18. He connects our transformation in verse 18. All this is from God. I think he's talking about all the transformation, everything that's come before in 1 Corinthians. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He is connecting our ministry to the very thing that happened to us. So how are we transformed? I specifically use the word transform because that's how he describes it in chapter 3, verse 18. We're being transformed from glory to glory. But here in chapter 5, verse 17 to 21, he describes it as reconciliation. The word reconciliation is used five times in only four verses, 18 to 21. And it actually has two meanings. First of all, it has the idea of change. It's not the same as it was. And it's important for us because we are saying that we are a new creation in verse 17. And he says, and God is reconciling us in verse 18. We are being changed. It's the famous passage from Romans 5, isn't it? While we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. When he uses the word reconciled in Romans 5, he has this idea that we were one thing, enemies, but we have been changed. It has another meaning, and that's the idea of an exchange between two people. It's not just when you're a kid, you know, and you're trading toys with a friend. You hold on to your toy as tight as you can, and your friend holds out his toy, and you grab his toy, and then you hold tight, you go one, two, three. It's not just that you are making a straight across change. It's the idea of a conversation. It's an idea that we are close enough that, like Adam and Eve, walking with God and talking in the cool of the garden, there is this exchange between two people. That's reconciliation. In fact, that's how this word is used in 1 Corinthians 7. You know 1 Corinthians 7. The whole chapter is about marriage and divorce and separation and marital breakdown. An unbelieving spouse that leaves. And in the middle of all this separation, there is the idea of reconciliation. Ephesians 2 says, "You who were far off have been brought near." That is the idea of reconciliation. Does that help define our ministry at First Baptist Church? You better believe it does. And how is reconciliation possible? It's only possible if the barrier between us and God is removed. We know what it's like in marriage, don't we? Something happens between us and our spouse, and we're fighting about who's going to take out the garbage. Something really important. It's going to change the world. Who's going to pick up that dirty sock? And something gets between us, and we argue, and we got to deal with that. And as God removes what is between us, we are reconciled. That's verse 19, isn't it? Not counting their trespasses against them. And then he defines, how is that even possible? In verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He was perfect. There was no sin in the perfect Lamb of God. So that," and here's the purpose statement. Do you see it? "So that in him we might become the righteousness of God," transformed. What a gospel. David Platt was asked the question, well, what about the innocent man in the jungles and the tribal jungles who's never even heard about God? How can he have this reconciliation? What about that guy? Will he be in heaven? And David Platt says, oh, yeah, that's easy. Of course, the innocent jungle tribal person will be in heaven. But guess what? There is no innocent jungle tribal person. There's no innocent person anywhere. Romans 3 says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none good, not even one that seeks after God. Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 59, in one of the most powerful descriptions of reconciliation in the Bible, quoting even the verses we read from Psalm 53, in Isaiah 59 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, or his ear too dull to hear, but our iniquities have made a separation, your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your lips speak lies, your tongues," he goes on with this powerful description of hopelessness. And then in verse 16, it says, "The Lord saw and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no one to intercede." God looks down and he sees the sins of all humanity, and he wonders, it displeases him, there is none to intercede. And you know what the very next line is? "And then his own arm brought his salvation." And the wonder of Isaiah 59 is that God makes a way for us to be reconciled. Do we have a ministry? You better believe we have a ministry. That if I am reconciled, I know the hope of the world. Verse 18 says God has done two things in chapter 5. He has reconciled us through Christ And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. My dear friends, evangelism is not just a talk that we prepare. It is not just apologetics or a tract that you can hand out. It is not just a program for the church. We will never reach the world if we just fill the church calendar with all kinds of interesting things. Oh, people will like us. They'll want to come be a part of our church. Things that are great interest will bring them in by affinity. We'll bring them in by all the things we do for them. My friends, we have a ministry of reconciliation. Our vision for the church is not just to fill the church with people. Our vision is to fill the church with people who are reconciled to God. People that know and understand that they are forgiven and that they will love much because they've been forgiven much. Doesn't your heart cry out to God for this? Doesn't your heart cry out, God, do this in my life and in this church and in this community? Father, don't just make my life better, but reconcile me to yourself. Two things I said that will direct our ministry. The first is we minister from a transformed life. Do you know it and experience it? Then God will use you to minister. Otherwise, we're just filling our calendars. Secondly, we minister with a transforming message. Look at verse 19. That is, that in Christ, and here this little phrase, that is, he's explaining, it's explanatory. He said in verse 18 that through Christ, God has reconciled us to himself and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, now here he's going to explain it. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Not only are our lives on display, but we actually are sharing the message. That as people's lives are broken around us, we bring them to the place where they can be forgiven. We share the hope of the gospel. We are sharing the very message that will save their souls. And we know it by our own experience. In fact, look at verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. We're not ambassadors of First Baptist Church. We're ambassadors of Christ. You know what an ambassador is? Somebody who lives in another country but represents the king of this country. Somebody who does not speak their own words speaks the message of the king. Somebody who declares the very message that the king wants them to hear. And who is it that is speaking? Look at verse 20. God is making his appeal through us. That as you and I speak the hope of forgiveness in the gospel, not only that our sin is removed, but that we are brought to God, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I love this word here at the end of verse 20. We implore you, we beg you, we plead with you, be reconciled to God. Isn't that the whole point of it all? You see, God is not just bringing us and bringing others to church. What does it say in verse 18? He's reconciling us to himself. What does it say in verse 19? He's reconciling the world to himself. I implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is our ministry. To this we are called. Look at chapter 6, verse 1, working together with him. And assuming Paul is talking about as ambassadors, we appeal to you not to receive God's grace in vain. Is that not last week? It's a grace that saves, a grace that transforms, and by his grace we serve as a church. Could it be that God is calling you to be a part of this ministry? This ministry of reconciliation? By a transformed life and by a transforming message. So help us, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we recognize our need of grace. It's hard for us even to believe that we are being changed from glory to glory with ever-increasing glory. It's hard for us to believe that there is any kind of triumphal procession. But the whole point of this is not to reveal us. It's to reveal, God, what you are doing in us so that it gives hope to others, that we can be clean, that we can have a fresh start, that there is a new life, that we can walk in this glorious hope, that the greatness of the power is shown to be of God and not of ourselves, and that though we are afflicted, we are not destroyed. Even so, Father, I pray that you will raise up our hearts as a church. I pray that we will fill this building and beyond with people that are truly reconciled to you, because this is your ministry that you've given us. Even so, Lord, do it in our lives, we pray. Amen.